friends to Discipleship Conversations, a podcast featuring, well, discipleship conversations between Jeremy Hoover and Stephen Carrizal. We believe that discipleship in its most simple form is about following Jesus within the kingdom vision of the biblical narrative. In these conversations, we reflect with more detail on what that means. Your co-hosts for the podcast are me, Jeremy Hoover, and Stephen Carrizal. Jeremy is focused on a discipleship-oriented church plant in Sarnia, Ontario, and Stephen concentrates on discipleship and spiritual formation in his work as associate minister with the Alta Mesa Church of Christ in Fort Worth, Texas. Thank you for joining us for another discipleship conversation where we reflect on what it means to live as a follower of Jesus on mission, where discipleship and the kingdom of God call us into a new reality and give us a new script for life. Hey everyone, welcome to Discipleship Conversations. I'm Jeremy Hoover, here with my co-host, Stephen Carrizal.
Hey Jeremy.
Hey man, if you've made it this far in the podcast, you've already noticed some changes that we've made for season two. We want to thank you for being back with us and encourage you to submit any feedback you have about the podcast. I'm excited about the direction that we're going in. We're calling this season two. And in our second season, we've decided to dedicate the entire season to a discussion of a book called Discipleship in Community, A Theological Vision for the Future. It's a book published by ACU Press. It's been written by Mark Powell, John Mark Hicks, and Greg McKenzie, names that are widely known within our fellowship, the Stone Campbell Movement, the Restoration Movement, maybe more specifically Churches of Christ. I got introduced to the book, Stephen, because you were talking about it one day after one of our podcast episodes from season one. So I just want to lead in. Why don't you tell us what drew your interest to the book? Why do you think it's an important book to discuss?
Well, so we're doing this podcast. We've been talking about this common interest we have and this ways we've been bringing discipleship as to the forefront of some of our conversations and thinking about doing church. And, you know, I come across the book. So the title, first of all, captures my attention. Discipleship's got our word in there. But the idea of discipleship and community is really interesting to me. So the title and then the author, I don't know the other authors quite as well as I know, and I don't know personally know John Mark Hicks, but I've read several of his books that he's partnered with other authors on, and he has, I found himself to be really good, really thoughtful, theologically rich, and some very good practical things as well. It's helped me rethink and I think put a good footing on a lot of different aspects of our tradition, which I think really helps our tradition. I think he's in some ways helping our tradition get a little bit unstuck from some of its ways and understanding a move forward. And so the title along with the authors, particularly John Mark Hicks and our podcast, got me reading the book. So I might have looked at the book later at some point, but because of those intersecting things, I wanted to get the book right away. In fact, you know, I mentioned to you, we should review this book. I'm not even really knowing what it was about at that point, but we should, I thought we should review it. So I got it and wanted to read it and went right after it and have subsequently really enjoyed it, had found a lot of great insights in it. And so I'm looking forward to sharing with people or maybe encouraging others to read along with us. Perhaps maybe that's what some of you decide to do after hearing this first podcast, this first episode. We can just encourage you to pick up the book and read along with us and maybe see how we review the book. So our hope is a bit of review of the book itself, but also a discussion of the things it puts forward as a way of living in discipleship, particularly in community. So something that so that got me to the book. And one thing that got me really into the book was just right from the very beginning, Jeremy. They say that they connect discipleship with the heart of the Stone Campbell movement, which we've already kind of been talking. It was at the heart of it. I don't know if it was at the heart of it, but here's what they say, that the heart is this, a life of simple, authentic discipleship. That sentence maybe want to read the rest of the book, because I think, Jeremy, as I said to you, that I feel like a life of simple, authentic discipleship pretty much captures what we're trying to do in our conversations here as we try to figure that out, what that looks like, what that looks like for you in Sarnia, what that looks like for me in Fort Worth. Mm-hmm. What does a life of simple, authentic discipleship look like? What is that? What does that call us to be? What does that call us to pay attention to? How does it shape our lives? How does it determine the interactions we have with people, from our family to our church family to the community around us? I really like that call, that invitation to a life of simple, authentic discipleship. Each word there, life, simple, authentic, discipleship, all four of those words are, I think, can be unpacked in many different ways just on their own. But I find that sentence compelling. Whether or not, when we can discuss whether or not that's at the very heart of our movement, it is something that's very important for the way forward, I believe.
Yeah, that's good. I would say, just before we got on the call, you and I had a little bit of conversation about, you know, how much do we want to mince words on some of this? And I would say, I think that is at the heart of our fellowship. Different ones of us may not mean it the same way. For example, in my experience, I think everybody, if I said to the folks that I grew up with that mentored me in faith, do you believe that the church should be about a life of simple, authentic discipleship? They would say yes, but they probably meant it in a more ecclesial way about how we organize the church. Like that's what discipleship is. And so I think what we're going to find as we talk about this book is that what the authors are trying to do is reclaim the communal aspects of how we walk with Christ. So they're trying to retain what has been a strong point in our fellowship, which is its ecclesiology. Like we're not at maybe at least until recently, but more historically, we've been focused on the church as a unit or as one body and not the individual. Like we've not been focused on, it's you and Jesus. We've always had that stronger sense of you are part of the church. And I think what the authors are doing here is now showing how do we bring theologically richer traditions and practices to bear within that community. I had John Mark Hicks as a professor when I was at Harding School of Theology, and he was very enjoyable as a professor. He had a strong love for the church and for spirituality. He was the one professor I went to when I had questions about spirituality, about prayer and so on. And so I think there's going to be a lot of rich insights in this book. My first thought on this orienting theological concern was to not be sure if I thought that was on target or not. But after we've talked through a little bit, I think it is. And I think we could all nuance it. And you might nuance it differently than I would. And Mark Powell, John Mark Hicks, Greg McKenzie might nuance it differently than you and I would. But I think at the heart, yes, I think our communities are about figuring out simple, authentic ways of living a life of discipleship. I think that's a really good way of putting it.
Yes, I think so too. I think so. One of the things that the authors do, they do go into our tradition, and there's been enough kind of, I guess, maybe critique of our tradition. I think they're trying not to go back into that. And they'll do a little bit of that. They'll describe, particularly at the beginning, that they're how in some ways we've lost our way with the focus on too much focus on how to do church and not so much just on the community and discipleship and that. So they're kind of reviving this idea of discipleship and community without overly critiquing, because that work has been there. It's out there. Mm-hmm. It's known. So they're trying to move, I think, beyond that. And so I like the fact that they're doing that. And one of the things they talk about is this idea of this orient and theological concern being discipleship is to think about it and do it. So they talk about returning to an emphasis on discipleship in our theological reflection while actually getting back to the work of discipleship. How do we do both of those things? And so they bring up this term of theological reflection. And so there's theology in this, but there's also this urge to actually not just continually think about it, but actually get into discipleship, do the things of discipleship, be that. And I like the idea of this theological reflection because it's a way of experiencing the text or the intersection of the text with our experience. So looking at our experience through the lens of Scripture, listening to the Holy Spirit, some of the things that we've talked about in season one about listening, mm-hmm. about bringing our experiences, our context to in front of us and letting Scripture help us understand what it is that how do we interpret these things? How do we move forward with what Scripture has to say for our lives? And so I think that's what they get at in each of the chapters to come is this idea of let's look at Scripture, let's look at our context, and let's look at what we are trying to do as discipleship in community. So the idea of theological reflection and getting to the work of discipleship, both are really important. I think to the authors, even though maybe they lean a little bit more into theological principles, they're trying to set some foundations for the way forward. Because I think one of the things, Jeremy, I think that discipleship, while there's some organizing principles to it that are common to everybody, what it looks like from town to town and even from individual to individual might look a little bit different just because our contexts are different. So I think as we understand what theological reflection is, it helps us. How do we talk about those organizing principles? How do we talk about those commonalities? How do we talk about what we see in Scripture? And then what it looks like for me and my neighbors, for me and my workplace, for me and my family, which are all different places than you and your neighbors, you and your workplace, you and your the city that you're in is a different place. And so it helps us understand that, I think.
Theological reflection, I think, is key in making the move from maybe where we are to where they're calling us to go. I think theological reflection kind of got co-opted by by the proof texting method, so to speak. You know, once we started identifying a verse and then trying to make an immediate move to a particular practice, of course, discipleship is figuring out how different practices play out in our life and experience in the church. But once proof texting kind of took over, there's not a whole lot of reflection that goes on there. It's just a simple yes or no, or see this, do that type of approach. And so I when they bring up theological reflection on what discipleship is, I think this is going back to the Bible. This is reading it, not lifting things out of it, but reading it, thinking about what's there, thinking about the bigger context of the Bible, thinking about the overarching narrative of what God is doing in the Bible, and then thinking about how do the practices that we do in the church evolve out of that or flow out of that bigger story. And so for me, that's what theological reflection is about. It helps, and that's how it helps us get back to the work of discipleship.
Mm-hmm. I like that. One of the things, though, I think is different about this book than about other discipleship books or ways of talking about discipleship, particularly with going back to the Bible, is that often people go back directly to the Gospels and try to pick out how did Jesus make disciples and then try to create a system that's based on that. Mm-hmm. And that's not what they're doing in this. I think sometimes that creates a system. I don't know. A lot of times that creates a system that organizes people around me, puts me at the center of, if Jesus made the disciples this way, I'm going to make disciples this way. And that means organizing people around me, and seeing me at the center of discipleship, rather than putting God at the center of discipleship. Now, that sounds like an overly quick critique of all other systems. And so that's not what I'm trying to do. But it's kind of, a contrast in what I'm saying about what others seek to do. And what I think these authors seek to do is to look at this, that we put God in the center and we kind of think about where we are already. I mean, we're part of Christian communities that practice certain things, and we want to highlight different things about who God is, what God's story is about, what are things that we do together as a worshiping body, and how do those things make sense in the world around mm-hmm. us. So that's different than just going back to the Bible, going back to the Gospels, and looking at Jesus and how Jesus made disciples from a very, I guess, very practical standpoint. It kind of broadens out the move a little bit mm-hmm. more. And I appreciate that because I don't think it's turning it into a system, which,
right,
you know, can discipleship systems can go awry in many ways mm-hmm. Because those systems then become codified into some kind of doctrine. This is the way to do discipleship, no other way. These are the words we're going to use. And that's not helpful.
No. So, and you spend all that time in the Gospels, one presentation of what Luke is doing as he shows Jesus making disciples is he's reconstituting what true Israel should have looked like, which then factors into bigger elements of what the biblical story is about. So it's not just Jesus going out with a new innovative program. It's Jesus is forming a new community. Mm-hmm. And so discipleship and community.
Yes,
and,
right.
And you said we want to put God at the center. And if we think very pedantically about theology, meaning the study of God, then what we're doing in our theological reflection is thinking about what is God up to in our situation. And we recognize that when we seek to put God first, that's a communal move, because as we're going to get into in just a few minutes here, God himself is a community. And so the community or communion that exists within God then in a discipleship sense becomes part of what we want to enact in our communities as we seek to bring about discipleship movement within that community in a way that reflects the community that we already see in God. One of the things that I like about the way John Mark Hicks writes, and I know he's got some co-authors in this book, but he always writes with kind of like a survey approach where he reviews the history of what he's talking about. And he doesn't dwell on the negatives from our fellowship. And a lot of times he'll highlight a positive that I may not have learned about some other way. And it was like that in this book when they mentioned this quote from Alan McNichol. And Alan McNichol, in a talk he was giving, talked about a fundamental theological sensibility within our movement. And what he meant by that, well, and I'm quoting from page 14 of the book here, an essential insight that one cannot be a Christian without living the obedient life of discipleship in a visible community of faith. And I think that's moving towards this idea that in our communities of faith, we're trying to bring visible marks of what the community within the Godhead is in a way that that's reflected visibly in our communities.
That's right. So they really lean into that statement and kind of build upon McNichol's statement about community. They kind of take it and they kind of want to kind of describe a little bit more, define a little bit more what community means, because that can be a general word. They bring three different definitions to it, or three different ways to describe community. That the community of the divine community, just as you mentioned, that God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is a divine community. And they'll spend a chapter talking about that and that relationship and how it in turn shapes our relationships. But this, so this visible community of faith, I think McNichols was probably talking about a church family. But they want to kind of broaden that out a little bit more, first by saying this community of faith begins with the divine community, the Father, mm-hmm. Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, I also want to emphasize that it is a church community, that this divine community has formed these church communities. And so it is important to live that out, that discipleship is not lived in isolation. It's not lived just me doing my thing, but it's us doing God's thing in the kingdom of God. And so that's two ways, the divine community and the church community. And then the third way they kind of bring it out is the communities where we live, work, and play. That they understand that discipleship is not individual, and it's not just hidden within the church family, but it's lived out in public in a way that impacts the people around me, wherever I am, the communities where we live, work, and play. So discipleship, they say, is an invitation to follow God into the world and to participate in God's mission in offering life and salvation to all. So discipleship occurs as Christians go into the world and proclaim the gospel in words and action. So what starts in this divine community emanates from that into a church community, into the communities around us, which make up the world around us. Mm-hmm. So that's how we go into the world, is we start with who God is, the community that God is, the community that God forms into the world that God made. And so our lives in living discipleship become lives of people on mission in the kingdom of God.
That's good. You know, we could talk about this for hours, I think, and we're trying to tailor it to keep it within a time frame that makes for a good episode here. But as you were talking, an image came to mind that discipleship is like a refractor. It refracts the community that exists within the Godhead into the community of faith and then out to the world. So it's almost like as the community of faith is learning discipleship in all the details that they're going to discuss in this book that we'll talk about in upcoming episodes. But as the community of faith is learning about discipleship, the community of the Godhead is refracting through that to the world so that the world can be drawn into that community. Is that an image that makes any sense, or should I edit that out?
No, I think that makes a lot of sense because we're not generators of the light. Mm. We are. Some people will say we reflect the light, mm-hmm. Into the world. I think the refracting is good because what it does, it takes an intense section of it and spreads it out and distributes it, disperses it, and puts it out for lots of people. But it's not me all by myself. It's not up to me all by myself. It requires my faithfulness, but it's my faithfulness and participation with other people who are being faithful. who are seeking to live into and share God's light. And so I like that image. I think it's a good image, something that starts with God and feeds into the community of faith and out to the world. I think that's as what they'll lean into in another chapter about God's story. That's what mm-hmm. God was trying to do with Israel and choosing these people to form something by which he would speak his will and his love for the world. And they were supposed to show that to the world. What happens is when we fail to be those, that refracting agent mm-hmm. and just kind of become like a black hole for that light, and hoard it for ourselves. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, we can keep using metaphors and analogies, but, the idea is that, we cannot contain what God has given to us. We want to be vessels through which that power, that light, that however we want to call it, goes out to the world. It transforms us and it can transform the world.
Absolutely.
But we can't sit on it. Yeah.
No, that's really good. You know, these authors don't interact much with missional theology. And I don't say that's not critique. It's just not the purview of their book. But one thing that I was thinking of in preparing for this episode was how missional church theology really picks up this idea of community and its practices based. And so how does the missional church or that community reflect the mission of God? They do it by thinking about how do we live incarnationally within within the community where we live. And I think that idea really encapsulates what they talked about with that, the community of the Godhead, the community of believers, and then the communities where we live, play, and work. That's what go ahead.
I was that I think that's, they do head in that direction. The last chapter is on mission, on God's mission, how we participate in that. So I think that missional theology is right in there with it. This mm-hmm. idea that it begins with God, it lives, it works through us as incarnational, just as God was incarnational through Jesus. He continues that incarnational move in the life of the church and us. And we participate in that by being, by kind of incarnating the presence of God through us, through to our neighbors, to the world around us. I mean, it is not done in isolation, and is not done for the sake of the church. It's done for the sake of the world. And that's why, I mean, that's another thing I like about this book is it's not, it sees God's whole story from the beginning to the end and how we participate in that. And so to me, that's why it's a bit powerful along the way.
So what you and I are doing on this call, this episode, is the work of theological reflection. So we kind of began the discussion with that notion, and that's exactly what we're doing. We're talking about what's the movement between these three things. Like, how do we bridge between the community of God to the community of faith to the communities where we live, work, and play. And that's theological reflection. And maybe that's a good way of thinking about even more deeply what they mean by discipleship is an act of theological reflection, or at least it requires theological reflection. Because the ways that we move from God to us to the world are going to be practices and modes of understanding that have physicality to them that are then going to help us move outward. I mean, how do we receive this in a way that helps us transmit it to somebody else? That's what discipleship is. And discipleship is going to be embodied at that point. It's not going to be simply intellectual. Now, I say that, of course, there has to be an intellectual understanding of what's happening, but discipleship itself has to be a set of embodied practices. And when I say that, I'm saying that in light of something that you and I have talked about in general. We've talked about it in terms of this book, and the notion that theological reflection is not doctrine per se, and doctrine is good, but doctrine has its limitations, and doctrine does not necessarily equate to embodied practices of discipleship. So I'd like to see how you would reflect on what I just shared, and then we'll talk a little bit about the theme of doctrine.
So I like that. Doctrine without discipleship is missing it. We can have our thinking, we have all these things sorted out, but without engaging in a life of discipleship, we've completely missed the boat. Maybe that's an unintended pun, you know, to get in the boat with Jesus and go along the way. I can miss that just by being focused on doctrine. Contrasting with that are people who are living lives of discipleship without fully, or without really even with barely understanding any kind of doctrine, but their lives are reflecting, they're focusing their lives, what they do with their lives, and reflecting Jesus and living a Jesus life, a kingdom life out. I see those people are way ahead of people who are way advanced in doctrine, but don't have a clue about turning that into discipleship. So, the theological reflection, I think, is probably a key for all people, but particularly for those who are stuck in right doctrine and without any kind of discipleship. It is good for those that are focused on discipleship to learn theology, to learn all those things. But, I think Jesus called people in the basic sense of discipleship. Jesus said, follow me. And we can argue about all those things along the way, but in a sense, it boils down, are we following Jesus? Not have we figured out the nature of the church, full understanding of the Trinity, understanding what grace is about, how sin impacts our lives, what Jesus does on the cross. It's the basic call of discipleship is following Jesus. I don't want to negate any of those other things, but the basic call of Jesus is following. The basic call of discipleship is following Jesus. And we want to do that. Theological reflection helps us understand how that's done in our lives. How that helps us, because the Bible doesn't speak to every single situation in specifics. By theological reflection, we might learn how to engage the world, the conversations that the world is having. How do we engage people of various political parties? How do we engage people of various points of activism? How do we engage people wherever they are, rather than just sit and critique all those people in different places? But how do we engage with that? That requires theological reflection and understanding discipleship in the light of Scripture.
Yeah. The specific quote that we're talking about is the quote from page 23 that says, good theology always leads to renewed lives of discipleship. And I think that quote gave both you and I some pause. I suspect that what they're trying to do is redeem our traditional emphasis on doctrine in a way that says, if doctrine isn't pushing us towards growing lives of discipleship, then it's missing the point.
Or it might not be good theology.
It might not be good theology for sure. And if that's the case, I agree with that. But as written, I really struggle with that point. And that may be because of the background I come out of, where I've seen doctrine thrown around and used to beat people up over what they believe or don't believe. But I can get into the spirit of it if we're trying to redeem the idea that the more we understand the ways of God, the biblical story, the purpose of the church, that that will push us towards stronger discipleship and better practices. I'm all in on that.
I think, and I think you're on the same page as authors in saying that. And I think maybe just as I kind of alluded to, I think that they're getting at that, that when that doctrine used as, you know, as used as weapons, used as a weapon in various forms, that we hurt people with what we call the truth, without, it's not good theology. It's something very specific for the purpose of critique and pain rather than healing in the world. And that's the direction. I think that's part of, I mean, when we start understanding God's story, if we're, if our end is, you know, has, we want, we just want to correct people, with our doctrine, I don't think that's good theology. I think just as I said, good theology, forms, discipleship, renewed lives of discipleship, always leads to renewed lives of discipleship. There's, so there's a lot in that renewed lives of discipleship is I think there's a lot in that. It's not just people who are unquestionably doing what Jesus did. It is, people who are healed, redeemed, living with the Spirit of God. I think there's a lot in that renewed lives that determines what kind of discipleship that we are living out, and good theology produces that. And I think that what that says is it's not just a theology, it's the Spirit of God. It's good theology because the Spirit of God is in that theology, in our lives, coming out of us with this renewal, with this redeemed purpose.
That's really good, Stephen. I want to go back to your comments a few minutes ago about Jesus said, follow me. And that's, you and I both go back to that repeatedly as the heart of what discipleship is about. And maybe this can be by way of summary here, and you can respond to it, and then we'll move towards wrapping up this particular episode and discussion. But I think the notion of what does follow me mean requires that theological reflection. It's because I've already spoken negatively about proof text, and we don't want to say, well, Jesus said, follow me, so now I have to lift out every command and then go and do it. And if I don't, then I failed and I'm not following him. And just, you know, turn the idea of following me into a transactional thing. I mean, when Jesus called those disciples to follow him, and you and I have talked about this, they left things behind. Now, that could be the simple proof texting point. Jesus says, follow, you have to drop everything and go. But I think to reflect on that theologically is to say, what are the things that I'm attached to that Jesus is calling me to move away from? And to think through, and that's a task of discipleship. And then in season one, we talked a lot about discernment. A discerning body could ask, what are the things that Jesus is calling us to move away from, to release, to let go of as we seek to follow him? So this is theological reflection. And I think what theological reflection leads to, and I'm going back to this quote about good theology always leads to renewed lives of discipleship. For me, what theological reflection leads to is a set of values. And the values create practices. And those practices are where we find renewal in the life of discipleship. But they come out of the values that were considered and created based on the theological reflection. Now, whether we would call the values doctrine or not, maybe in some cases you could, maybe they wouldn't fit as a set of doctrines. But if doctrine is created as a value set that's derived from theological reflection and then creates practices of discipleship, to me, that's how you make that move.
Yes. I think, but it's always in how we're living. We're known by our love for one another. We're known by the fruit which we bear. we're not known because of platitudes we say or how well we construct or write a belief statements, but we're defined, we're known, we're described as Christian by the way we behave and the way we live our lives. And so, yes, those actions start in with good statements, but they always end in good actions, the way we live. So it does, it calls us to set things aside, to set self aside, to deny ourselves, as we would read in the Gospels. You mentioned the discernment piece that we talked about in the last season. One of my basic prayers is generally summed up in this, and I said this, I guess, in one of the episodes previously, is in this little rhyming couplet that our preacher kind of came up with. Lord, help me to see what needs to die in me. And that's my prayer. It's that when I start to latch onto something, and I need to know what is it about that that needs to, I need to let go of my definition of the way things should be, my desire for people to see things my way. And then how I begin to recognize the need for that prayer is my own judgment or critique of others in ways that starts to seem harsh and are always compared in comparison to me. And I think I need to think differently. And that thinking differently is going to help me act differently toward others. And so, yeah, I need to walk away from my desired outcome. And I want to live into what Jesus is doing. I think those things that we read that Jesus says to do have to be turned into or filtered through theological reflection. What does it mean right in this space? We're not in the first century agrarian economy with, you know, fishermen and Roman soldiers walking around. It's different. When we start trying to bring too many of those analogies here, we then start putting our judgment on who people are in that story. And that's not good.
Yeah.
So theological reflection, what is that Jesus saying and he's doing and he's calling his disciples to do in the Gospels, and how do the apostles in the letters talk about it with their churches that then transitions or translates to our time? That's important to do.
Yeah. So why don't we leave this as an exercise for our listeners to do in between episodes here. Find a friend, block out some time during the week, reflect on Mark chapters 1-4, specifically from the point where Jesus says, follow me, read the sections, reflect on them, pray about them, and then discern together with your friend, what does it mean to follow Jesus? And share those thoughts together. If you get it done early enough, share them with us. We'd love to hear your feedback on that. But begin the task of theological reflection. It's not something that you're going to master. You could certainly reflect on that, I think, for many, many weeks and still plumb the depths of what it means to get a grip on Jesus's call to follow him. But that might be a good exercise for you to do and to think about in preparation for the next episode. So we want to thank you for listening to this episode, joining us here on season 2. We really encourage you to get a copy of the book and read it along with us. We're going to go just a chapter at a time, so it won't be a difficult schedule to keep pace with. Send us any questions you have about this chapter or any feedback you have, and we'd be happy to dialogue with it and answer any questions that you do have. But thank you for joining us. Stephen, great talking with you about this. I'm glad you brought the book to my attention. I've enjoyed reading it and talking about it with you. Do you have any last thoughts before we sign off?
No, I'm excited about reading this book with people and or just talking about it as they think about reading it. So again, it helps me. It's already blessed my life. I think talking through it Just again, with you in these episodes, I'm looking forward to the effects that it will have going deeper into the material myself. So I'm thankful for that and look forward to talking more.
All right. Thanks, Stephen. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll be back in a couple of weeks. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to this discipleship conversation. We invite you to share this episode with your friends and tune in next time for another conversation. You can find previous episodes at discipleshipconversations.com. Jeremy coaches leaders and helps them find personal growth by aligning their actions with their values. He also leads discipleship cohorts. To connect with Jeremy, go to his website at jeremyhoover.com or contact him by email at jeremyhoover@gmail.com. Stephen provides discipleship and ministry coaching through various organizations. To connect with Stephen, go to his website at stephencarazel.wordpress.com. The music you hear through the episode is by audionautics.com. Thank you for listening.